This week, a Scottsdale woman pleaded not guilty to child abuse charges after being arrested for allegedly leaving her 2-year-old son and 6-month-old kids in her trunk. But there's a bit more to this story than that. Shanisha Taylor had said she was at a job interview at the time, and that's led to some questions about the state of access to child care in Arizona. Erin Radin, the executive director of the Arizona Child Care Association, says it's pretty dismal. She hears stories all the time about parents not being able to work because they don't have a safe place to leave their kids.
A mother who is working leaves her kids with in unsafe care or at home alone and they wander out of the house. That's neglect. Those kids are ripe for a call to CPS with a neglect report. And then that triggers all of the increased costs that come as a part of that system. You have a situation that's been all over the news here in town lately with a woman who was at a job interview and left her 2 very young children in the car. That was a very stupid thing to do. However, she should never feel like that's her only choice.
When you talk to lawmakers about trying to convince them, hey, a little bit of money in this program could really make a difference, what do you hear from them?
I've been really pleasantly surprised with how many of our lawmakers really understand it. I think as we move forward, I'm really hopeful that when they talk about the child welfare reforms that they're going to put into place, hopefully in a special session in the next few weeks, that there will be funding for this program.
So when people talk about trying to fix CPS and preventing kids and families from having to be involved with CPS in the first place, this is one of those areas that you think could really make a difference in that respect.
It's so obvious to me. When you look at the increases in the CPS caseload and in the actually reports, CPS reports in the last, 3, 4, 5 years, almost all of the increase in reports, it's all neglect. That just means people don't have a safe place for their kids or don't have the resources to care for their children. I mean, alleviating the burden, financial or what have you, of childcare provides so much more stability across the board and can really reduce those reports.
I'm curious what you make of the argument, and I'm sure you've heard it, that, this would be a great thing to do, but it's just not the role of the state to take care of people's kids. If people made the choice to have kids, it's really on them to figure out what to do with them, where to put them, how to get them in a safe environment when they go about their daily lives.
Well, I wish that was the reality that we lived in. I think all of those personal responsibility arguments resonate with me. But I think that when you have a program that is well-crafted, that is a voucher program, that has co-pays, that you must be working to participate in, that what you're looking at here is helping people who are really wanting to work, wanting to take care of their families, and who need some help to bridge that gap.
I'm curious if you think that the case that you referenced, the Shanisha Taylor case, the woman who had to leave her kids in the car while she was on a job interview, does that raise the awareness of this issue and maybe make any changes, or is it just an isolated case that people have a particular reaction to?
I don't know. I think that there are parents across Arizona every day making similar decisions that either just don't end so tragically or what have you. So it is not isolated, but I do think it's easy to put it aside and forget.
Erin Radin is the executive director of the Arizona Child Care Association. For another perspective, we turn to Karen Parker. She's the executive director of Phoenix Day, which has a child care center in South Phoenix. She says once the state froze child care subsidies, she lost around 30 kids within a few months.
One of the things that we have also seen is that although we have had some new children enrolling, they have not been typical low-income subsidies. It's either been as a result of TANF funding or as a result of a referral from CPS.
And TANF funding is welfare money, basically.
It is.
So when you hear about a case like the woman, Ms. Taylor, who left her kids in the car while she was on a job interview, what goes through your mind?
The kinds of things I thought about, first of all, there's not a lot of drop-in centers. Drop-in centers are not seen as high quality, and so those child care centers that are really pushing towards quality are not going to necessarily allow drop-ins. The second thing that I thought about is the fact that child care is very expensive. And for a person who is looking for employment rather than they have employment, it's very difficult for them to find or afford childcare while they're on a job interview.
What have you heard from some of the parents whose kids go to Phoenix Day about their experiences either on job interviews or trying to find care for their kids while they go to their job?
The families that we have that we're serving that talk about their experience in looking have talked about the general lack of high quality centers that are available and having to really go essentially as they're searching for childcare, basically interviewing the childcare centers and not being pleased with a lot of the centers that are available.
I mean, do you hear stories from people who felt like they were in a similar situation where they really had no idea what they were going to do with their kids maybe when they went on an interview?
We have. As a matter of fact, we've had a few individuals who have contacted us and asked if they might be able to leave their child with us while they interview. And as long as we have space in the classroom, we will allow that for a few interviews. We definitely want to be able to assist families while at the same time certainly don't want to risk any quality issues.
Karen Parker is the executive director of Phoenix Day.